Wake up. You ever open your binder and not have your notes? Yikes. That's happened to me twice this week. On Thursday, I lost my notes. Thankfully, on Wednesday, we go through the sermon, whoever's teaching. There's a group of us that sit around and we go through the material and they present and we get to critique that. It's kind of fun, unless you're the teacher. And in that process, people like Nate take notes. Other people remember things. So Thursday, I sent out an SOS, first to IT, and then to that team, said, can we get back together? Can we try to recreate this? And so it's perfect this morning that I opened that up, and Sean just said to me when I gave him a copy, hey, could you just throw that down here? I gave him a copy. He goes, as long as these aren't yours. And they were. Anyway, Karen's getting them. We're going to be good. But we're in this series called Awaken. And I wanted to come out yelling, wake up. Wake up. Wake up to what's really going on in reality. This series has been good so far, and I hope today we go even deeper as we look at Hebrews chapter 12. We read the first four verses already. I hope you were absorbing that. I hope you weren't too distracted by all of the things going on that you didn't get to hear God's word. And I hope as we worshiped together that you were able to kind of focus more and more on Him. The reality is we are so busy. We overcommit. We think we can do more than we actually can. The rhythm of life, it's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to go onto autopilot. It's easy to not recognize what's really important, what has tremendous value, what things have eternal value, that have real meaning. And we're just going through the motions. Just autopilot, just walking through. I've been there many times in my life. I don't always know how I got there, other than I just don't focus on Him enough. I have problems. You have problems. We all have burdens. We have things that weigh us down. I should make Karen walk up here. Everybody say hi to Karen. Yep. She's like, I hope these are the right ones. I knew I was in trouble today, not just because of what happened Thursday, but Karen, every morning that I'm preaching, as I'm walking out the door, give her a kiss and a hug, and she says, hey, don't embarrass me. She didn't even say that this morning. She had a sense of how this might go. Anyway, that we don't live with any kind of urgency. And days turn into weeks, turns into months, turns into seasons. And we miss the opportunities that God has for us in our life of faith. The things He's laid out in front of us. These eternal things, the things that matter. I'm very mindful of all the kids going back to school. It's a season. That summer is already over in that sense. And kids are back in school, and I can tell you this for you parents who have kids in school still. You are missing opportunities that you will never, ever get back. Aaron talked some about how you might apply that, approach that. You have to think differently. You have to focus on things of eternal value, or you will miss those opportunities. And it's not just parents, it's all of us. We have seasons in our life, and God has things so good for us and good for others, and we miss the opportunities because we are just walking on autopilot. asleep at the wheel. And so these verses, I know, will challenge us. We're also going to talk about how we get in those places and what hinders us. And that's why we have stones this morning. I'm glad no one threw any of these at me. Right? What are these stones for? It's going to represent the burdens in your life. Because this scripture is very clear. It's not just the things that hinder us in our walk, but there's a solution. And don't you love that about God's word? You know, I know some consultants. In fact, I used to do some consulting. And you know what a job of a consultant is? They just explain the problem in a different way and make it bigger than it was before they got there. If you're a consultant, I apologize, but you know. Now everybody knows. God is not a consultant. He's the one who died for you, who loves you perfectly and completely. And yeah, he's going to describe a problem for us. And right after that in verse 2, he's going to give us the solution. So let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Run the race that God has set before us. This is talking about our walk of faith. And it's talking about this walk of faith as this race that needs endurance to complete the task. Now, we're learning when we read Scripture that we should look at the previous 20 verses and then the next 20 verses. We're not going to take the time to do that. But I do want to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, because when we see a therefore, we should ask, what is it there for? It's therefore we can go back and see what was just said. Hebrews chapter 11, anyone? What's it talk about? It's a very famous chapter in the Bible. How do we describe it? Faith. The hall of faith. And in Hebrews 11, it describes what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And then it starts this long list of people. It's a long list of people of faith. People who lived out their faith. People who believed God. Believed in the promises that he gave to them. And ironically, it starts with Abel. Genesis chapter 4, in a couple weeks we're going to be in there as we go into foundations. And looking at the life of Abel, he was a person of faith. He was a flawed human being like all of us, but he was a person of faith, and he believed God. And that faith pleased God. Hebrews 11:6 says this: "It is impossible to please God without faith." I thought I had to do a lot of stuff to please God. I have to have faith. That's the currency in God's economy. Your faith. "It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." And for us, our reward, as we responded in faith to what Christ did on the cross, that horrible death, what he endured, he did for you, he did for me. He did it for anyone who will believe, anyone who will place their faith in him. And the reward for that is salvation. It's eternal life. It's eternity with him, having been forgiven and been redeemed. But he didn't just die on that cross so that we get to go to heaven. He died on that cross so we could now live free, that we could be awake to the things that matter the most. So we see this list. We could go through it. Won't take the time. But all of these people, men and women alike, over hundreds of centuries, these are the ones that are recorded. And there's some unlikely candidates in there if you know their story very well. A lot of failure in there. This isn't a chapter of failure. It's about people in failure believing God. Flawed human beings just like us that responded to God, believing him, that he can do the impossible. To the point where Abraham, when God said, hey, I want you to go and I'll show you later. Start going, I'll show you when you get there. You ever feel like God's done that to you? You're not sure? You know one step, he's saying, step into this. That's all you know. But Abraham said yes. He believed what God said. Go and I'll show you the place where I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, it's just the family. Nation, what is he talking about? But he believed God. We could go through Sarah. We could talk about Rahab, the prostitute. She's in there as a person who believed God and his promises. They all have that in common, that they were flawed just like us. They responded in faith just like we should. But they also share something else, and that is they're dead. Their race is over. They endured. They finished their race. We haven't finished ours yet, but guess what? We're going to finish one way or another. We think we have forever. We think we have forever. I was young and now I'm old. That's what David said. I can say it too. I was young, but now I'm old, and those years just have ripped by. I don't get to go back, and neither do you. So what hinders us? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, well, those people listed there and other thousands, tens of maybe hundreds of thousands, millions of people of faith are witnesses to our life of faith. They're watching. Who else is watching you? You're not paranoid if they're really watching. And I'm telling you, people are watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your parents are watching you. We're watching each other. People that don't even know Christ are watching you and how you live out your life of faith. And what a tragedy that we're just on autopilot. Because that's what they see. They're witnesses to our life of faith. And we're just taking these nonchalant steps, just kind of weaving in and out. We see in that is a challenge for us. So let's read again Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. This race, we're in it. But we also see that there's things that hinder us. What are those things? What does Scripture tell us? It's the weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up. As we're thinking ahead in these rocks, there's a couple of things that you could write on here. You can write as much as you want, but that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be writing our burdens, and we're going to write our sins if we're brave enough. And the sin that so easily trips us up, it's the thing that just keeps getting us, and we struggle against it. We might have some victory, and the next thing you know, we're entangled in it again. That's the sin that so easily trips us up. And then these burdens. What are these burdens? Do you know your own burdens? Do you have them? You're like, yeah, I have them, and this little tiny pebble doesn't represent the burdens that I carry, that I'm dealing with right now. We can be burdened by just life. It's easy to be burdened because of other people's actions. It's easy to be burdened for our own actions. And think about fear and guilt and shame. Those are burdens. Anxiety and being anxious, those are burdens. Those are real. And it weighs us down. And we're supposed to be running this race that requires endurance. And we're so loaded down, we can hardly walk, let alone run. It seems almost an impossible task. I was thinking about distractions and busyness. I was thinking about how much I love the things of the world. The things it has. Those are all burdens. And how the world pulls our attention and our affection away from Him and onto it. I think about sin. It keeps me from running the race well. Unforgiveness, envy, lust, jealousy, pride. I could list a bunch of sins. We could spend the rest of our time going through those sins. But that sin that so easily trips you up, what is that? So, burdens and sin keep us from running the race well. I found that I've been in three camps before at different times. So I'm going to show a quick video here. And this would be an example of how I am in my walk with the Lord at times. When I'm supposed to be running, this is what I often do. Go ahead and play that.
Careful, Robinson, because somebody's behind you, okay?
Watch to the end, you know, the little clip, because he about gets hit in the head with a bat here in a minute. Oh, he thinks he's going to score. Slide. See this kid swinging? What is happening? Run. Run. Run faster. In a circle. That's an example. I've been there. Not really sure what I'm doing, how I'm supposed to be going, where I'm going. And did you see the coaches, though? I bet in another 10 years this kid actually know how to run the bases. No, probably in 2 years. He's being coached. He's got other people that are telling him how to do things. That's why we offer Starting Point. Because we need coached. We need encouraged. We need things pointed out to us. No, run. Throw the ball. Get to first before Him. All those things in our spiritual lives, in our walk of faith, we need that. There's something else that we need. And I find myself here a lot as well. I'm going to guess you're going to relate to this really well. Go ahead and show the next video. Hey, let's have some quality family time. 144 times, well, some say over 300, but 144 times people that they surveyed, this is their own admission, 144 times people checked their phones. Some of you have done it right now. So write that burden down on your little stone and you can bring it up later. I've seen you. I know what you're doing. Oh, I'm looking at my Bible app. It looks like Candy Crush or something. Anyway, 144 times a day. There's a term out there. Go ahead and put up the definition so I don't mess this up. Fubbing. You know what that is? Phone and snubbing put together. That family is fubbing each other. Oh, we're together. No. Do you think that phone has any eternal value, or what they're looking at has any eternal value? No. But every person in that picture of that family has value. And they are missing opportunities. Every 6.5 minutes, the average, you check your phone. It distracts us. It becomes a burden. They've done some science and done some evaluations, and they're trying to figure out why it's so addicting, but it is, because we get a little bit of dopamine. And then our attention span goes from 7 minutes down to 2, and less for some. I want to see a show of hands. Anybody ever been on their phone and watching TV at the same time? Karen, did you raise your hand? Good. Okay. Just want to make sure. Like, done it. Sometimes Karen and I are watching two different shows and both on our phones. And we've actually texted each other and she's right there on the couch. We're so distracted. Has no value. We act like we've got forever. You don't, and I don't. We'll show this last clip. And this is just of a runner who's exhausted. I've been there. Just absolutely can't go another step. You know what Jesus tells us? Matthew 11:28. Then said Jesus, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." Because we're yoked up with him, and he carries all the weight if we'll let him. I'm going to have the worship team come out. And as they come out, I want to explain what this symbolizes. This is an opportunity for you to respond in faith when he says his burdens are light. His burdens are light. Ours aren't. Ours will drive us to exhaustion, to quitting. It'll bear down on us. Meanwhile, God has something so much greater. It says in Hebrews 12:2, the answer. It's not just writing your burdens down or your sin. It's where you look. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "We do this." Do what? Run this race that God has given for us. To live out our life of faith with purpose, with urgency, because it matters in eternity. The very souls of people are at stake. The moments that we have in our relationships, those seasons will all pass. We will have missed the opportunity. So here's the solution. Here's the answer. Hebrews 12:2. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let that sink in. When you're burdened, when you're caught in sin, look to Jesus. Focus on him. Give him your burdens. Confess your sins. Give them to him. Think of what he endured as you go through difficulties. That he gave his very life for you in a horrible way. That's how much he loves you. And he did that, yes, to save you for eternity, but he did that so you could have freedom in this walk of faith that you're walking right now. We're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to write your burdens or your sin or both on your stone. And then I want you to respond by bringing those stones up and placing them around the cross. The foot of the cross, symbolizing you're giving that to him. And as you walk out of here, you'll be lightened because you've given that burden to him. So take a few moments. Bow your heads. And when you're ready, come forward and drop your stone off. The worship team is going to be singing at first, giving us time to reflect. And then they'll tell us when we're ready to sing together. Give your burdens to him.
do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to.
Symbolically, we laid our burdens at Jesus' feet for him to carry for us. He says that he will, that he'll take those. When you think about what he did for you, he gave his very life so that you could live. Live free, that you could run your race, accomplishing the things that he has for you, to live with intent and purpose. That only happens when we follow the instructions of verse 2. We're going to run this race with endurance that God has set in front of us, this life of faith that we're all in, that we're all on this journey. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He died for you. He'll carry your burdens if you give them to him. So as we walk out of here, we'll pick those burdens right back up if we do not keep our eyes on him. We absolutely have to focus on him, spending time with him. And he'll give us joy. Maybe not in our circumstances. Just like him on the cross, there wasn't joy. It was a joy that was going to come. You know what part of that joy is? Him saving you. That was part of the joy. Fulfilling the will of the Father, that was going to be joyful. Not in the moment, but it was coming. That we can have joy as we look ahead to what he has, what he's done, what he's doing. And I know that burden. This is not how I thought it should go. I thought my life would be different. Why am I sick? Why does Someone I love. Why are they sick? How could that happen? He'll take all of that if you give it to him. And the joy we have isn't in the moment. It's for what's coming. So friends, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you sent your son and he came and he died. We thank you for his life and the example he is. God, allow us to see you more clearly, to see your son lifted up, ready to carry those burdens, ready to fight for us. He keeps his promises. They are true. God, allow us to depend on you. Allow us to surrender those things and our affection and our attention to the things of this world and just see you. God, give us strength to endure. Allow us to surrender those areas in our life that are sinful, to surrender to you. Your way is better. God, I pray that everyone here would be able to give their burdens to you right now. And as they leave here, that they would continue just to give them to you. Allow you to do what you've promised. And how your things are easy and they're light. You don't burden us down. We're thankful for that. Thankful for your power. We love you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Keep looking to him.